Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. Mark Gessner is back to talk more about his next chapter. After a remarkable career in academia, he then decided to become a nonprofit executive. But before all of that, he worked in hostels. He is the Maureen and Douglas Cohn Executive Director of the Tampa JCCs. He's a Brooklyn native who saw transformational leadership, inclusion, and acceptance modeled by his grandmother and his great aunts. So Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, glad to be back.
Will you take a minute and let's just talk about those family gatherings? I've read about the family gatherings, but other people don't know about your family gatherings. So just tell us about the family gatherings and what you got from that.
Sure, that's one of my favorite topics, so thanks for asking. So I grew up, as you said, with extended family, mainly in Brooklyn, New York. I had some family in Long Island and Bronx, but large family gatherings in Brooklyn that usually had at least 50 family members, if not more. My great aunt, Pearl, and Uncle Eli lived on one side of the street in a house. Then my grandmother and grandfather and another great aunt lived in the apartment across the street. And the three of them each always invited their branches of the family tree to all the holiday celebrations and different things that we could all fit in my great aunt's house. But we would come together and you could always bring whoever you wanted to. You didn't have to ask. If you had a friend or somebody who needed a place to be for a holiday, you bring them along too. But in those, the three matriarchs would do most of the hosting and the cooking and the convening. And then it was seeing all my extended cousins and getting to know them and eating together and, you know, living life together in that way. And I think one of the many lessons I would learn from my great aunts and grandmother is helping people feel welcome and like they belonged. I mean, they were masterful, I think, at really helping with hospitality, with love and care for everybody who came through that house. And so it was such a strong foundation, I think, for many of us, many of my cousins and others who got to do that. It made a big imprint on our lives, certainly on mine.
So do you carry on any of those traditions?
Well, that's a good question. So I think through my work in hostels and I think through my work, there's the family piece. And yes, in family, we still get together and I'm still connected to those cousins in a special way. But I think also through hostels, for example, I always wanted to help people feel like they were welcome and they belonged and that they could sit down together in a meal or in the common area and be comfortable there and feel at home there. In higher ed, most of the things I taught were around being involved in community, about helping organizations be inclusive and supportive and healthy, about being civically engaged and connected to community. So I think those threads that they taught about belonging and community engagement, that's what my life's work has been about.
So they prepared you without knowing that they prepared you.
Well, that's just who they were, right? Mm-hmm. Their life was definitely their message. I mean, they don't mess with any of them. Like, they knew who they were. They were solid, and they let you know what they thought in usually a pretty healthy way, I thought.
Women after my own heart. Women
there you
after
go.
My own heart.
Yeah, strong women, for sure.
As you think back, were there any pivot points that made you consider your life and your purpose differently?
Yeah. There was, at the different kind of career changes, there were things that would happen. But I think something that stands out for me is when I was at the youth hostel in on the Upper West Side of New York. It's 103rd in Amsterdam. It's still there. It's a city block long, a historic building. And I was there during 9/11. And at that time, after everything happened and people were trying to make sense of it, right? We had 624 young people from around the world whose family members were trying to contact them. There was a lot of chaos and disarray. And we, as a place where they were staying, were trying to provide some comfort and some safety and some care. And I always remember that what very quickly happened was that these young travelers wanted to know how they could help. They were trying to figure out how to not be isolated, not be scared, but step up and do something, and do something that mattered and was constructive. And we would get together and talk about what could possibly be done at that moment. And also I was getting messages from around the world that said, we're with you. How can we be supportive? So it connected, that moment connected a lot of different people in a very strong way. And it just, I don't know, it sticks with me as a pivotal point because of the outpouring of support, but that when people are in some sort of crisis, they band together, and you see this a lot, but they really show up as who they are and they want to do something that's meaningful and impactful. And I don't know, I'm hoping that I don't have to wait for a crisis to do that, that I can be purposeful about doing that always. And that was one of the reminders of to really think about and be looking for ways that you can make a contribution.
So thinking about this theme, there are a couple of themes that I notice whenever in these conversations, when we're talking. One is connectedness. The other one is contribution. Those are things that I don't know if you've noticed, but they're a theme when you talk, mm-hmm. connecting to people, making contributions to the world. Is that what allowed you to or drove you to this role that you're in with the Tampa JCCs? What's the connection there between those themes, your experiences? I can't forget the chocolate shop experience. I'm probably never going to forget that. What is it about all of those things that got you ready for where you are now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I would say what prepared me, a couple of things. One is that I was fascinated with social enterprise and nonprofit leadership and mm-hmm. worked with a lot of others who were leading organizations and talking about strategies to balance their mission and their financial margin. So where I am now, there was an opportunity to do that. I think to the crux of your question is that I'm working at a community center, and every day the main task that I have to remember is not perhaps the supervisory session I'm having or the finances that I'm looking at or the facilities question of the day. It's that each of those things are about building a community. And that's what my life has been about, right? About building community and making contributions. So I think what attracted me so much here was this is the real deal. Mm-hmm. In this place, every day, really, everyone who works here is focused. Their job is to build a stronger community through programs, through facilities, through whatever their role is. And so I try to, that has to be my frame of reference for the work that I do.
I'm curious about the Tampa JCCs. What is it? What do you do? How do you do it? And how do you lead that purposeful action? I know that was a lot rolled into one.
Yeah, so the Tampa JCCs, it's a community center. The JCC stands for Jewish Community Center. It's open to all. We have folks who engage in our fitness area. So the pillars are around fitness and well-being. So we have a fitness center. It's youth education. So we have preschools, after-school programs, camps. It's around active adults engagement. So we have things around sort of traditionally called senior programming. We have an amazing Parkinson's program here that is holistic health and support for people with Parkinson's. And then we have arts and culture. So things are from book clubs. We just had a film festival. So taken all together, it's different parts of the community. And people, we have two centers here in Tampa, Florida, that people engage in those areas. And those are the core areas of this community center. There are other things here as well that's associated with our organization, like a business accelerator, like an event center, like a variety of other sorts of programming too that are part of our larger organization. So those things make up this community. And we have thousands, we have about 6,000 members. There's a variety of folks who engage many thousands over the course of a year in some of those kind of things I just described. So my role is helping the folks who oversee those different areas that I mentioned and be successful in their jobs. And a lot of it is management of the operations that happen here. And I hope increasingly, and has been some, it's around how do you have that balance of management and leadership. I know your work is a lot in leadership, and I know this, suspect this is a topic you often focus on, is that distinctions between management and leadership, and how do you have a balance?
Yeah. What's rewarding about this chapter?
I think when I can see the community in action, when I can feel like, yeah, this is what we're about, and I'm helping with the container or the foundation that people experience this kind of healthy community. When I have an individual conversation, or I see a kid and a counselor walking together and talking about the kid's day, those moments are rewarding. And then when I get to do things that I feel are aligned with the kind of leadership that I want to have, that's also fulfilling.
So you moved literally, because this is not a virtual position that you're occupying, from, was it Milwaukee? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I did. I moved from Milwaukee to Tampa first for a university position a couple of years ago, and then transferred from that university to this current position.
Okay. And in that move, was there ever a point where you said, do I really want to do this? Am I sure?
That moment came, frankly, probably 6 months after I moved.
Okay.
And so I was pretty excited about the move. It seemed like a great fit. And then I think at some point I had some questions after I'd made, you know, the honeymoon. I had a honeymoon for a while. So it was all awesome and exciting. And then I had some realities set in that made me question it some. And then it worked out and it continued on. So I think before I moved, yeah, it was a big deal move for sure. And a big change for family and for what I had done. I lived and worked in in Milwaukee for like 20 years. So that mm-hmm. was a big change.
Mm-hmm. I asked that question because sometimes people grapple with the what ifs, like, what if it doesn't go right? What if I don't really like it? You know, what if? But I believe you have to face the what ifs, because on the other side can be something really wonderful. And I think that you're a great example of that, very good example of that. As you work with people and you meet and work with people all over, what advice do you give them on the what if? On the honeymoon might be over, and what next?
I think not to be consumed with what could go wrong or things that maybe weren't exactly what you can get caught up in reasons why it won't work. Mm-hmm. And if you can focus on creating a way that it can work and use your influence for good for yourself and your environment, that you have a lot of control over that. And to focus your energy on not all those those what ifs out there that you really have no control over, but do your best job in figuring out what you have control over and the questions you can ask ahead of time to be prepared. And then when you get there, to really, be able to spend your time as much as possible on the things that you came for. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And you used a word that I think is so powerful, and that is influence. My belief is that each individual has a lot of influence, and a lot of that influence goes untapped, either because we don't recognize that we have influence or because we're afraid of our own personal power. So thank you for hitting on that. You know, as we wrap up, I just want to say you have been and continue to be a great role model. I mean, going from a VP at St. Leo University, then a business professor at Stritch, and then doing some other work in Tampa, and then into this role that you're in now. I think that's such a great role model for the fact that we can do, and we can be, and we can write new chapters. I would love to be able to go even deeper with you on this whole notion of next chapters and explore that more deeply. Will you come back? One more conversation?
Sounds good. Glad to do it.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.